Why are you doing this, first of all? What's your why?
You know, running for governor is something that I probably didn't think of, but to simplify it for you, Scott, I am running to make Minnesota stronger and better than what we're experiencing now. And that's not just for right now. That is for the current, but also for generations to come. When we've seen what has happened, specifically under Governor Walz over the last 7 years, our taxes are higher than they've ever been. Only half of our kids can read at grade level. Families are struggling to support themselves or even to just afford their lives, and Minnesota is not in a better place. Add on to that record fraud here in the state of Minnesota, and no one has been held accountable. Just to kind of encapsulate that for you, Scott, that is why I'm running for governor.
Well done.
Yeah, good for you. It's certainly needed. Yeah, it's a tough time, no doubt about it. A lot of what you talked about is the legacy of Tim Walz, the current governor. Sounds like he's running again. I haven't seen any polling. I still get up every day hoping that he doesn't, and maybe he decides along with Kamala Harris to run for president, vice president again, because that didn't work out so well last time, and I think it'd be worse this time. But you took the high road often in your interaction with Tim Walz. Obviously very different politically, and trying to get him to say, hey, can we do some things together? Can we fix some things? And just kind of hit a brick wall again and again. Talk about those debates, if you will, with Tim Walz, and how you will, you know, sort of awaken people in Minnesota to why he was a very, very bad governor.
I think as Minnesotans saw him on the national stage when he was running for vice president, some of those things that came out during that time, his record, the things he signed into law here in the state of Minnesota, the amount of fraud, all of those things became highlighted at a national level. Those were things that House Republicans had been saying for years that we were concerned about, and we couldn't get as much coverage or get that message out in the most effective way. We tried, but it just wasn't heard. It was falling on deaf ears or not even being put out there. So Governor Walz on the national stage gave us that opportunity to kind of expose what has been going on here in the state of Minnesota. But as far as how will I work with him going forward, I have proven that I am a leader that has solid conservative values. I have the best interest for the people of Minnesota, but yet I can work across party lines when it is needed and to get the best results. Specifically, my time as speaker, we are in a tie, Scott, 67-67 here in the House of Representatives. So anything that was passed this last year, some of the great things that were done, I reduced the spending from biennium to biennium of $5 million, ended taxpayer-funded health coverage for illegal immigrants, adults, so that's 18 and above. We were able to do that. I prevented cuts to our non-public schools. Those things all had to be bipartisan, and they were part of a negotiation that actually started day one of the session because we had co-chairs in every committee. And so it had to be bipartisan votes that would move bills from committee to committee and then off the House floor. Was there more that I wanted to do that would have been good for Minnesota? Yes. But think about this, House Republicans, we are one half of one third of government here in Minnesota. The wins that we had for the people of Minnesota with just a tie, that is what I want to take to the full state and deliver more wins and more good things to build on a stronger and even better Minnesota where we can work together.
Yeah, and I think people need to know what kind of a mess you inherited, right? Because it was, a dumpster fire, one of my favorite phrases. And you look at, from the Pawlenty era, and then Dayton, and then what he inherited versus what we can't say it enough, right? I mean, blew a surplus, raised taxes above that. Talk about what you came into and the battles you faced there, just in a pure fiscal sense, Lisa.
Sure. So in 2023 and 2024, Democrats had full control of the state of Minnesota. We had a minority in the House. Senate Republicans were in a minority. And so Democrats went wild with what they wanted to do. We had a record $18 billion surplus that was completely spent. And that wasn't enough for their pet projects, their waste, and what they had in mind for Minnesota. not good things for Minnesota. They also increased our taxes and fees by another $10 billion. That was a 38% increase in our state budget. All through that, even though we did not have the votes to change that, we were sounding alarm bells saying, this is not going to be sustainable. You are going to drive this state into a deficit. Scott, that's exactly where we are today. We have an almost $6 billion deficit, and we were able to cut about $5 billion away from that impending deficit. Still not enough. We're almost able to cut it in half. But that's what we inherited at the beginning of 2023.
I was talking to Scott Lisa before we got on and explaining, and she can relate because we both live in Minnesota, that the tab renewals come for your license plates. And they want to tell me my 2013 Rust Bucket Chevy Impala with 280,000 miles on it is worth $18,000. And, I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, it's a true grift that's going on in the state of Minnesota. And it's just so colossal, Lisa. I don't know where you start.
Yeah, so, Kevin, if that's truly what it's worth, I think you need to try to sell it.
The state will buy it from me. I'm selling today.
Sell it to Tampa. He'll buy it. Yeah. Maybe Gwen will drive it. She needs her wheels.
About fraud. Yeah, when we talk about fraud, that's almost $1 billion that's known. So anytime there's that much fraud where it's gone unchecked for years, you know there's going to be more to it. And that's the concerning thing. We have Minnesota families that are just struggling to make ends meet, and yet money is going out the door in a way that'll never be recovered. We're not going to get that money back, and yet it's been a blind eye kind of turned to that, ignoring recommendations from the Office of Legislative Auditor for years. And that's a nonpartisan office saying, hey, it looks in the agencies that there's a lack of internal controls. Maybe we need to do something about that. Again, pointing back, Minnesota used to be known for our educational quality for our kids, and only half of our kids can read at grade level. Some of our schools are doing phenomenal work, and our kids are excelling. Graduation rates are really, really good. But yet, some of our schools are failing, and we're pouring the same things in. Now, we've done a little bit for our kids over the last couple of years, trying to improve the ability to access the literacy or, you know, basic phonics. I mean, it's called the science of reading is what we put into place, and that's just getting started. We never should have fallen this far behind where Mississippi has better test scores in reading than Minnesota does. So we have a lot of work ahead of us. The failure has been very fast, free-falling over just a few years, but we are ready to turn this around. The election for governor here in the state of Minnesota is one day short of 1 year. Yesterday marked the one-year point to the next election. We've got to save our state and make it stronger.
I always tell my daughters, girl power. You're going to do some serious girl power in this race, which I think is really awesome. I want to talk a couple of things. We only have 2 minutes left. One, how do you win, knowing the challenges of Minnesota politically? Bring us inside your strategy.
So first of all, I really am a standout in the candidates so far, and the fact that I am the only candidate that has sat across the table from Governor Walz and negotiated. When he kept saying, we're going to raise taxes, we're going to raise taxes, I said, we are protecting Minnesota families from tax increases. We are not going to raise taxes. In fact, let's reduce our spending. So I'm the only one that has that true experience. But we need to make sure that Republicans show up, because last election, there was almost 200,000 registered Republicans that didn't bother to show up at the polls. Every single vote matters. In fact, today we have two special elections that are going on for state Senate that we need every Republican to show up. That's over in District SD29, Michael Holstrom, and Senate District 47, Dwight Dora. Those are important elections right now today. But next year, the entire House, Senate, Governor, everything is up here in the state of Minnesota. Every constitutional officer. First, we need Republicans to show up, and then we need to make improvements in the metro areas and in the suburbs. And that is the hard work that my campaign is doing. And as Speaker of the House, we are also diligently working to gain that House majority in 2026.